the guys from Ping, they've kind of shown me how much the equipment matters.
I just love that I can hit any shot I kind of want.
We're going to be able to tell some fun stories about what goes on here to help golfers play better golf.
Welcome back to the Ping Proving Grounds podcast. I'm Shane Bacon. In red is Marty Jurtz. And if you're watching, maybe you're just listening. If you're listening, you have absolutely no idea what we're wearing. No clue.
That's true.
We could be wearing Halloween costumes. We could be wearing New Year's Day costumes. Or we could be in our Ping stuff like we are. We got a pretty exciting guest today, Marty.
Absolutely.
Jacob Clark is with us. He's kind of become the wedge guru at Ping. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess by default. I don't know what else you would call it at this
when
point.
When did you get into wedges? When did wedges become your focus?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I started at Ping actually as an intern under Marty in 2012. So it was a summer intern in 2012 and 2013. Started full-time after I graduated in 2014. And my first project was Glide 2.0. And
okay.
Just like growing up, I was always an awful ball striker. Like hit it all over the planet. Didn't hit it far to be good. And just could get up and down from anywhere. Loved hitting wedge shots and all the things that go into hitting wedge shots, the different techniques you can use around the greens. I've always loved doing that. And so when Marty assigns me my first project to do the Ping Glide 2 wedge lineup, I was ecstatic. And I remember going out, working with a couple tour players at the event in Vegas before I started the project, and then being able to launch that product with the players out there, I was over the moon. And basically since then, I've kind of carved out a little niche in that space. It's cool within our design team. We work on a myriad of different products just to have experience in different things. But I think we definitely all kind of pride ourselves. We all have one area of focus that we get really passionate about. And wedges have definitely been the one for me.
Can you evaluate Marty as a boss? Just the goods and the bads real quick?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like what is his like Yelp review going to be for you? What do? We go with five stars?
Rate my professor?
Yeah, are you going
to? Oh, absolutely. I think what's cool about Marty is obviously fantastic golfer at the beginning, which is cool to be able to make really slight changes to designs and just be like, hey, Marty, go tell me what you think, hit a few. And then he also has this very intense passion for all things golf. And like one of the things he's always referred to as having skin in the game. So even within our design team, like everybody is passionate golfers, and we're not just designing clubs to make other people better, because that's the mission of the company, but it's like, I want to play better golf personally too.
Well, I mean, Marty, you've talked a lot about that exact thing on the podcast is you at times are trying to solve your own riddle with a lot of your designs.
Yeah. And we did that episode, Shane, in the archives with Rob Griffin.
Yep.
And he told the story of Karsten. That's what is, you know, that's the original is our founder, Karsten. He was trying to solve it, make the game easier for himself first. And then he's like, hey, I can build a company out of this.
Since Jacob gave you a review, can you give him a review of being an employee real quick? Just
Jacob's the man. And I love that we've been able to align Jacob with what he's most passionate about. And he has poured his heart and soul into short game and in wedges, and which is what we're going to talk about today. There's so much like nuance to it.
Totally.
So much nuance. We have to have a lot of options for different players, the styles and techniques. You use your wedge for so many different shots. You have to go really deep on that one product category. And that's what Jacob's been awesome at doing here over the last, you know, five to 10 years.
Just focusing on wedges. And I think for maybe the layman out there that doesn't know a lot about the design or obviously has the brains that you guys possess, you think about wedges, you go, I mean, how much more can you change about this golf club? It doesn't travel really far and you're hitting it around the greens. And in a way, you kind of manipulate the wedge yourself with your own hands. So how do you kind of keep pushing the envelope in the wedge space?
Yeah, so I think one of the first things that we look at when we're approaching a project is like, one, who's the target customer? Not just for like the whole lineup, but for each individual grind. What's the player archetype that fits into that? And even though that a lot of those changes that we're making to sole grinds and designs aren't necessarily things that are revolve around a lot of technology and innovation, better understanding how a golfer delivers the club is possible now through a lot of that technology and innovation. So we have our focal motion capture lab at Ping. We've been able to, in the last like year or so, actually capture some really short shots. So I remember a couple of years ago, Stan Utley would come out and we couldn't pick up shots under like 50 yards because the system wouldn't trigger.
Yeah.
And so we've had a whole team of engineers working on how do we kind of rig the system so we can capture these little 5, 6, 10 yard shots that Stan's hitting with a lot of different techniques. And as we understand what the golf club's doing, we can design a more optimal sole configuration for that player to kind of have different levels of turf security, versatility around the greens. And then two, just approaching things from like a friction and performance side of thing. We have multiple PhDs in our innovation department and our golf science team that their only focus is to find better friction on wedges. The learnings that we have kind of translate to other product categories as well. But I mean, as we'll probably talk about later, the importance of friction in the wedge game is so high just given the different spin lofts that golfers are delivering wedges at.
So Jacob, there's the delivery stuff we'll talk about and being able to, I think in my mind, it's being able to measure things that launch monitors can't do currently. Maybe they'll be able to do in the future. So we'll get into that. When it comes to friction, give a little overview for the listener, the viewer here to the podcast on what do grooves do? I mean, I think we've heard these stories, right? Some listeners might be out there, oh, grooves don't do anything. Grooves cause all the spin. What do grooves do? And what does the land in between the grooves do?
Yeah, that's cool. So looking at wedges, and I think one of the most eye-opening things you can do is to take just your standard wedge that has grooves on it. And then if you have a wedge that has absolutely no grooves on it, go out in the middle of the fairway, hit a couple balls, and they're going to fly the exact same. They're going to launch at the same trajectory, have similar spin rates. But the second you get any sort of grass, moisture between the club and ball, those trajectories couldn't be any more different. Where if you have grooves on the face and other face blasts, milling, etc., it's going to preserve that launch window that players are looking for. But if you don't have the grooves or anything, the ball shoots straight up with no spin. It's like a top spin lob, basically. There's no control over the ball. Your distance is super inconsistent front back. But I think the primary role of all of those things on the face is just to kind of stabilize the ball flight as you get into different scenarios. I think one of the ways I like to represent it is your grooves, your face blast, your milling. That's kind of like MOI for your launch conditions, to where you, like on a driver, we design MOI in. So if you hit it out on the toe, you're going to be able to preserve ball speed and generate a more optimal trajectory. But in wedges, as we add different elements that increase friction, we're adding MOI to the shot that you're hitting from the first cut of rough, or you play in early in the morning with your buddies and you got the dew on the golf ball. We're just trying to normalize those launch conditions as much as possible.
Marty, something you've told me is rarely do you have a shot that doesn't have something between the ball and the face. I mean, even from fairway, if you're playing, you know, like Jacob said, if you're playing in the morning or if you got it, it's kind of a wet day, like, there's going to be something that's going to get between the face of the club and the golf ball, even if you're in the fairway.
Yeah, we've done some great high-speed video at like 30,000 frames a second where you think it's a perfectly clean lie and players are picking up in the slightest amount of grass and debris, and you can actually see the water droplets being squeezed out of the grass.
Yeah, it's
which
wild.
Is pretty incredible.
Even like bone dry fairway.
Yes,
too. Like you
bone
see
dry.
Something.
It's always something. I think that's so wild. Yeah. By the way, do we have a name for the area between the grooves? Should we think of that?
We call it like the land area. It's kind of what we refer to it internally. And I think looking at grooves are kind of like the macro level of face friction, and then you really get into like the micro level with the really small milling textures, but you can still see that with your eye. But then you go a step below that too, where you're face blasting, you're seeing all these tiny peaks and valleys and a lot of variety in the surface texture. And that's what really helps all those things working together is what really is going to drive that performance to have that constant friction.
It's a lot like tires on a car, right? Like when it's dry out, you can drive on bald tires. A drag racer has they have no treads on the tire. As soon as it starts raining, especially in Arizona, it doesn't rain that much, and people always like, oh, people don't want to drive in Arizona, but you have so much oil, debris, everything on the road. You need all of that technology in there, the treads, and then the texture in between. Both of those things kind of peak the friction. One fun way to do that test that Jacob was talking about, and it's great if you're a fitter listening to this, do this indoors.
Okay.
So indoor fitting, it's kind of hard to simulate the friction or the lies. Basically, when we say friction, it's really the lies you get out on the course, is to spritz the water, get a little spray bottle, spritz the ball with a little bit of water, and look out, because you might get a launch angle you've never seen before in your hitting bay. And that's one way to showcase the technology of S159 R Groove technology over maybe your gamer wedge you bring in there to evaluate, right, Jacob?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the coolest part about that test that we've kind of developed over the last couple of years is we want that fitter or just somebody who's on their own wanting to kind of test out some different wedges. We want them to be able to simulate as close to the conditions that they're going to see out on the golf course. So the spray bottle test is just a great way. It's not necessarily saying like, hey, I'm going to be playing water and pouring down rain, but it just simulates anything that's less than that perfect environment that you would get from a mat or something like that.
Can you walk us through the grinds? Because I know you've introduced some new grinds with S159. Yeah. Can you just walk us through the different grinds you have with wedges?
Sure. So I think looking at the wedges, kind of looking at where we have the most options, and that's going to be on lob wedges. So we typically will start there. So we have six different grinds for a wide variety of players, techniques, etc. The first grind that is our S grind. So that one is kind of the, I want to say bread and butter, because it works in so many different conditions of firmer turf, softer turf, etc. But it accommodates a wide variety of players too and how they like to hit shots. So it's got a little bit more bounce in the middle of the sole, which helps on more of the distance wedges and some of the more square face shots around the greens. But as you open it up around the greens, you get a little bit of trail edge relief.
Okay.
The trail edge is basically like you look at the bottom of the golf club, and usually you can kind of see like a little ridge where the sole kind of changes direction. So the trail edge is basically anything that's behind that little break point in the back. Across our line, there's a varying amounts of relief in that section depending on what the player is looking to do. So there is a bit of that trail edge relief on that sole, and it gives the player some flexibility to open the face and manipulate a little bit and still be able to generate the height that they're looking for around the greens.
So that's the initial grind. And then if you can kind of just kind of walk us through some of the other ones that are available, if you will, just because I think what's nice about this episode is someone listening and trying to understand what the wedges look like and how many options there are to just get a little bit more of a definition of what everything is.
Yeah, sure. So I think I'll go ahead and go to one of our new grinds next, the H grind. So that one's inspired by a lot of the work that we've done out on tour with our players. And for a long time, we've had different options through Ping Works, the most popular being the half moon grind. So what that grind does is it relieves material kind of in the heel toe section of the club and steepens the trail edge relief as well. So what that does is that gives the player some versatility to open the face, keep the lead edge nice and tight to the turf.
Okay.
I'm sure Marty's used variations of this.
Marty, is that like laying pretty flat? Like if you're opening it up, is it pretty flat on the ground?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I think if you're a golfer that goes out to retail and you put it on the carpet, you know, and you rotate it open, you're like, oh, if it's me and you, we want to be able to hit those higher shots off of firmer turf, it's like, you don't want that lead edge to rise too much. You don't want to stay perfectly level to the ground and get knifey. Some
recipe
bad things would happen.
Yeah.
But you want it to kind of stay low with that, how you open the face and orient the handle, right?
Yeah, for sure. So that kind of is a great lead in to the next one, the next new grind, the B grind. So the B grind, also inspired by some work we've done out on tour, this is one that works really well for players that around the greens prefer to hit shots with a more square face, slightly open face.
Okay.
And they kind of have a more neutral technique, I like to say, a little bit more powered by body rotation, not as dynamic with their wrists and stuff. But the B grind has a wider, flatter sole. So it actually has the lowest bounce angle of any club in the line, which allows it to sit super low on square face shots. But it has the forgiveness through the turf because it's a really wide sole. So Chuck Cook, one of our brand ambassadors, great player. That's a club that's worked really well for him the past couple of days as we've been doing some different testing, because like I said, he's a pretty neutral chipper. He's not being really dynamic with his hands and how he delivers a club. So he's able to generate kind of height and spin with that configuration. And it works really well for his more neutral, shallow technique.
So B, wide, but low angle, right?
Correct. Exactly.
That's kind of the kicker on the B.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And preceded by that, we talked about the H grind. H for half moon.
Yes.
Right. So that's where you got all that relief. For those listening, you can just imagine us taking the grind, like our works grind, half moon grind, and peeling off material from the heel and toe like that half moon shape. And then we have the W.
Yeah, the W is a great grind for somebody like yourself who, one, they might take either larger divots or they play in the Northeast where it's a little bit softer turf, maybe a little bit wetter.
I mean, you're divot shaming me, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll roll with it.
I'll take it.
So the W grind we actually do in 54 through 60.
Okay.
And I really like players using the W in their 54 or 56 because it gives them a higher bounce option that they can have.
Makes sense.
And it also works really well if that player uses that club to hit a lot of their distance wedges. So kind of that three-quarter to more full swing, it's really shallow through the turf on those shots, which helps generate a little bit of that flatter ball flight that great players look for.
Interesting.
And it also works really well, too, for players who around the greens kind of like to move the ball back in their stance, lean the handle a little bit more. Because as you lean the handle...
Probably do that too much.
Yeah, exactly. So as you lean the...
Speaking of my soul right now.
Yeah.
One more step over, a little more shaft lean, a little more.
Yeah, come on,
the ball
please.
Way behind your back foot?
Yeah. Yeah, so what I think a great thing to understand is basically for every degree that you move your hands forward, you're removing a degree of bounce off the sole.
Okay, makes sense.
So if you're playing your wedge shots kind of middle to back in your stance, to effectively make contact with the golf ball, you have to deal off the club to get it in the right spot. So as you're doing that, you need to have more security on the bottom of that golf club. So the W has the highest bounce angle. It's got a lot of width, and it's also got a lot of camber. So camber is basically the curvature from the lead edge to the bottom of the club. So there's a lot of volume of sole kind of below that lead edge that prevents it from getting really deep into the turf.
So, I mean, Marty, this is a lot of information. I mean, you're talking about grinds, and it can get pretty in-depth, obviously. I mean, the explanations are awesome. I mean, they can get pretty golfy. What I find amazing about Ping and what you guys have done is you've tried to simplify this information, not in terms of like sending out a press release or trying to, you know, get like talking points, literally doing it with technology. And I mean, there's an app now that's out that everyday golfers can use to try to understand what grind and what wedge is going to make the most sense for them.
Yeah, it's awesome. This app we made, Shane, is to take, you know, we expanded our number of grinds. So to a lot of golfers, they're already paralyzed by understanding grinds. What is bounce? What is angle? You guys have all these acronyms for your grinds. Which one should be for me? So we tried to solve that. So you answer a series of questions, and these questions are basically, not joking, they're kind of like decoding how Jacob works with our tour
players.
Totally
agree with you.
So we took the process flow that Jacob used with our tour players and then the everyday golfer, walk them through their technique. Jacob talked about, do you play the ball back? Do you play the ball forward? If you play the ball back, you're most likely going to have more handle lean. As you lean the handle, get shaft lean, you're going to take bounce off. You'll probably be better towards our W grind, maybe our B grind, things of that nature. So this app, you just answer a series of questions,
easy. And Marty, not a lot of questions.
No,
this is a 3-minute ordeal.
Yeah, yeah. Our promise is 2 minutes
maybe,
or less.
Maybe 2-minute ordeal.
2 minutes or less. You answer those questions, and it'll give you the top two options. It'll give you one that'll probably going to work better, and then a secondary option. The ideal state is go through that app, get down to these final two, and go do a little evaluation between those two. And Shane, the cool part is not only does it give you grind recommendations, so all the stuff Jacob just talked about, remembering what T and S and W and H are, you can forget about that. Just go through the app. It'll tell you. Well, it'll also give a recommendation for your gapping, because that's also a major problem we see with a lot of golfers is how do you, if your highest lofted wedge is 60 or 58, how do you spread the right numbers to hit your gaps between that and your highest lofted wedge?
Marty, gapping is something we've talked a lot about on this podcast over the last year, and I'm not sure if there's a right answer for this, but I'm interested in what you both think on this. Is would you rather have tighter gaps in terms of shorter distance and have larger gaps, or maybe have your gap issue being in longer clubs, or vice versa? Because the way I think about golf now, doesn't necessarily, you don't have to hit the ball 300 yards to hit a lot of wedges on a golf course.
Yeah.
And when you have a 15 or 20 yard gap in that 110 to 150 range, you're going to have a lot of those golf shots on the golf course. It feels like that's the place you want to be the most locked up in terms of gapping.
Yeah, we've run some really cool analysis on this. Jacob's worked on this on some of the iron projects that he's done, is looking at where players are on the golf course. So with our data partnership with Arcos, we can actually go out and say, okay, 18 handicappers, 12 handicappers, scratch golfers, what is their kind of probability distribution of where they're hitting a lot of shots on the course? In the peak for everybody starts around that 120 range and peaks out around 145, then it starts to level out around 160, 165. So the answer to your question is yes, pitching wedge, nine iron, gap wedge is where you want to make sure you don't have an enormous gap, because you're going to have a lot of those shots and they're very important for scoring. That's that range where you can stuff it in there and make a birdie once in a while.
Yeah, I think kind of speaking to that gapping and working with tour players, especially like in that transition from their iron set into their wedges, I remember very clearly working with a player a couple of years ago, and it's Wednesday morning before the tournament starts and just getting numbers confirmed on TrackMan before we get going. And going through pitch and wedge is going, let's say 142, the 50 degree is going 129, and then the 54 degree is going like 112. And they're like, this isn't acceptable. So it's down to the level of like, okay, we need to bend this a half degree strong so we can get another 2 yards out of it.
Yeah.
So those players on a week-to-week basis that are playing for their livelihood, they understand how important it is, especially in that section of their set, to have that high level of precision, because a lot of them kind of work off the systems of, okay, I know my full goes this number for this club, and then they have a three-quarter and a half shot or whatever percentage it may be, and they have those numbers exactly dialed, and they have a system formulated to where they have every yardage covered from, let's say, 65 to 135 totally. Yards. So just seeing that level of precision that they require, I think it highlights the importance of the gapping app, especially kind of how it's linked in with the new Find My Grind wedge app and our recommendations when you get into that portion of the set. And we've also added a new wedge in that space too. So typically we go from a 46 to a 50 degree, but based on the demands of some of our consumers and how iron sets have changed over time, we decided to add a 48 degree. So that could be a new gap wedge for somebody. I mean, I remember growing up, everybody's gap wedge was a 52 degree. You always went 52, 56, 60.
Yep.
And that's even probably new school for a lot of people listening. But then like when I started at Ping, it was everybody was 50, 54, 58. Like it's everything's moved that way. So I think kind of the new wave is kind of here where in order for somebody to properly gap into their iron set, a 48 degree option might be the best one for them.
Do most tour players play four wedges? And when I say four wedges, I'm saying kind of not the wedge out of their set, but four actual wedges?
Yeah, there's a pretty good mix where you have, I don't know the percentages off the top of my head. I can definitely think of a handful of guys that would play that specialty 46 degree wedge that we have right now.
Because Marty, you play the blueprint wedge, right?
Yeah, and I
find it so interesting that there's such kind of a, I don't want to say debate.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's really what you prefer. I remember the first time I put a pitching wedge in the bag that was like from the wedge set and not from the, I guess, iron set, if you will. It was life-changing for me because I felt like I could do a lot more with it around the greens than I could previously.
When we talked to Joaquin, I think he was the same way. He's like, oh, when I hit my wedge, I just want it to be like, have the psychology of hitting.
Hitting
like your specialty wedge. Jacob, let's talk about some of our tour players and some of the new grinds. Who's been a good matchup? I mean, you've worked hands-on with a lot of our players, doing a lot of testing, evaluation on course, at facilities, at PGA Tour events. And a couple of the new grinds, the B and the H grind, are kind of catered towards a few spots in terms of performance we are missing there. So can you give a few examples there?
Yeah, I think looking at when we just added the new grinds to the line, definitely trying to just solve a problem that we have, whether it's out on the truck of it, we want to be able to pull a wedge straight out of the drawer and it be built for the player. Most of them have some slight refinements to theirs, but we want to have great starting points. So by adding the H grind in particular, one of the areas that we saw a lot of opportunity was for the player that might play in kind of softer or even more grainier turf. So think of guys that play in Florida, Sea Island, etc. They were kind of struggling where they're like, oh, I really like to have this tee grind and open up the face, but then I get into these heavy Florida bunkers and it's hard to get enough speed on it. So we were doing the half moon grinds pretty frequently for these players. And the more and more we've tested the H grind, I've worked with players at Quail Hollow earlier this year to do some testing, get initial feedback. That was like the first immediate bit that jumped out. I remember was working with Tyrrell Hatton and we had hit some little chips around the greens, got some good feedback. And for him, like bunker shots are really important with his lob wedge. Mm-hmm. And we get into the bunker and he gets in there, hits opens it up. He's getting settled in, hits this perfect thump, one hop,
right
straight,
in the
straight
hole.
In the hoop. And he turns around, he goes, "We've got it."
There you go.
And so
just that, takes one.
Yeah, exactly. So that one is almost there just to solve a problem, like I said, of softer sand. Players want to open the face. He still manipulates the face a lot around the green. So that versatility allows him to do that. And I think the B grind is going to work really well with a lot of our LPGA tour staff. So one of the most common things that we do out there is taking their iron sets and taking a little bounce off the sole. It helps them get into the turf a little bit more so they can generate more height. And we see a lot of similar things that they do in their wedge setup because their techniques are usually pretty shallow, a little more neutral in their delivery. So with that new B grind, they're going to be able to hit a lot of their shots around the green, generate more height and spin, and get that nice feedback off the turf. And they still have that forgiveness through the width of the sole, where in the past they might have struggled to find a great option for them. So excited to take that out to them here in the next couple weeks.
How about Sahith? Because I know he's kind of got
freak
hands. I don't want to say all the shots, but probably has all the shots.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Working with him is so much fun because, one, he's a guy that in practice, he will try these absolutely absurd shots. But you look and you go watch him play a tournament and it's like, oh my gosh, he's pulling these shots off in the tournament. I remember working with him earlier this year out at Bay Hill and earlier at the Phoenix Open too, and just watching the variety of shots that he hits where he's got the face like pointing backwards with that setup, swinging 10 degrees left, and it's all over the place, hitting these just crazy high spinners, low hookers. He'll flip it over, hit it cross-handed. So much variety. And I remember watching him at Players, and I can't, is it eight? That's that par five?
Nine's the par five.
And he was on one of those big mounds, short right of the green.
Yeah, brutal. I mean, nobody gets that up and down.
Yeah. And I think the pin was like front left. And he's on this downslope. And I'm like sitting there watching on the TV, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? And he's leaning with the slope, and he takes this quick crack at it and like snaps it back up like a whip. It takes one bounce and just skids right next to the pin. And I was like, only this guy can pull that shot off. But then not only to like actually be able to pull it off, to think like, you know what, I can pull it off
right
in tournament play too. So
to have the shot in your brain to step into that shot and try it.
Yeah. So he's one that's so fun to evaluate wedges with because he's looking for something that he can do absolutely everything with. And he hits a 60 everywhere.
Do you guys lean into that? I mean, if you have somebody like Sahith on, you know, that's an ambassador and the staff member and does so well with ping, do you guys lean into that and say, hey, can you try this grind or can you hit these types of shots or what would you like to see that you think would benefit you with X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, that's something that our staff is really great at of, even if they have something that they love and has been working really well for them, they're always very receptive to try something. Because at the end of the day, all of them are trying to get better always.
It's like what Marty, what you guys were talking about earlier with Marty, it's designing clubs to improve everybody's overall game, but to improve your game as well.
Yeah. Jacob, compare and contrast a couple players on our staff that have very different techniques. Like maybe somebody steeper, somebody shallower, somebody ball first, somebody a little, you know, maybe pick up a little turf, a little, ground impact before they hit the ball.
Yeah. So I think absolutely we'd be remiss not to talk about Victor right now.
Yes.
and the huge changes that he's made to his technique and his short game.
Had a pretty good 2023.
Yeah. It worked out all right for him. So Victor and a lot of his changes has definitely switched more to being, very steep with his attack angle. But what's cool about Victor's technique is the way he opens the face so much. Yes, he leans the handle, but he's got the face so open that he's able to still have bounce at the bottom. He's definitely trying to get it more into the turf, but as he's opening the face so much, he's adding bounce to the golf club. Sure, he's leaning the shaft to de-loft it a little bit to hit his window. So he's kind of on one end of the spectrum where if you look at most of his chip and pitch shots, he kind of plays more ball forward in his stance, leans it a bit more, gets his sternum working forward. So he'd kind of be like in one camp. And then on the other side of things, Harris English is a good one where he'll play a little bit of variety in ball position to alter his trajectory. And he's worked well in the past with something that has a little bit of width in the center. Victor tends to gravitate more towards something that's a little bit narrower up front. And with Victor's technique, he uses a narrower sole that has a little bit more lead edge angle. And that works well with his technique as he's liking to lean the handle a bit more forward, gets the ball captured in the right spot on the face. But Harris has responded really well to soles that have a little bit more width to them. I'm not saying it's a wider sole by any stretch, but a little bit wider, a little bit flatter sole. where his technique has worked really well on some of those shots. So there's such a huge array of techniques in that. I think that's one of the things I love the most about wedges is that you go watch PGA Tour, LPGA Tour players, brand ambassadors, all the people within the pingdom, as we like to say, so many vastly different techniques, and to be able to match up a soul grind that's going to work the best for them to have the best chance of success.
Jacob, what advice do you have for the club golfer out there? They're listening to this pod. They're losing spin. They're questioning if they have the right gapping and the right grind. What advice do you have for them when they go out and start looking for wedges?
Yeah.
Evaluating wedges.
Sure. So I think the first thing that we've talked about, all the different grinds, face friction, et cetera. But when it comes down to getting a set of wedges and getting fit for wedges and trying new wedges, all we want to do is get the ball contact in the correct location on the face. So with the different soul grinds, it's going to match up with different techniques. So as you're hitting little chips and pitches around the greens, we want to see ball contact somewhere around groove 3, groove 4 on the face. So what that does in that location, it gives you a nice combination of height and spin.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it lower on the face than that, you can maybe generate a touch more spin, but it comes off with a lot of ball speed. It's a flat land angle. You're going to have a big first bounce and not really be able to stop it effectively. It gets higher on the face and you're going to lose friction. The ball might slip a little bit. It's going to be pretty chaotic. So as you're hitting different shots after you've gone through the wedge app, really pay attention to where your ball impact is on the face, because that's going to be a huge driver of performance. Another thing that can't stress enough is play a premium golf ball. Using a premium golf ball, it's going to be hard-pressed to spin it without one. And clean your club face.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Clean your club face, please.
Grooves. Clean them every time. It's
get
unreal.
It all out of there.
Well, I mean,
please.
Like, not everybody has a TrackMan or device at their house, but if you're ever around one, hit a couple of shots with a dirty lob wedge and see what the numbers are versus a clean one.
Yeah.
It is crazy. It's enlightening to see it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, when you go approach a wedge fitting, we kind of cover this in our app, is before you go look at actual wedges, think about what you want each one to do.
Yeah,
so I mean, Marty personally, like when he's working on his lob wedge, his 60 degree, or is it even 61?
61.
Yeah. He's not optimizing that thing to hit 90 yarders from the middle of the fairway. There's sure he might have to pull off that shot from time to time if he's got a tucked pin over a bunker or whatever, but the vast majority of those shots he's going to hit with that club are going to be around the green. So when Marty and I are working on, when he's getting a new lob wedge and we're hitting some different shots, you put weight on the most important things to you, and then think about your next wedge in the set. For most people, they're 54 56. That one's going to be kind of more distance control focused as they're getting out to the rest of their iron set, and really pay attention to the gaps within that that space as well.
Marty, do you manipulate your shafts and your wedges? I've recently switched to that, and I'm doing softer shafts in 60 and 56, and then kind of the same shafts I do in my iron set. Do you do that at all?
Yeah, so I play X100s in my irons, and I play S4s in my wedges.
I do the same thing.
So
same
just
thing,
a little bit softer, gives me a little more feel. I feel like I could be a little bit more artistic, not rush the tempo as much, you know, apply the force, spike the force quite as much there, but it still keeps the weight. I think the one of the biggest things we've done in shafts is, you know, make sure you have a good weight progression, not too heavy and also not too light, right? I mean, I think the weight and balance of the wedge is super important.
Marty, do you want to talk about what you do in your lob wedge that's a little bit special?
Yeah, so my lob wedge, I kind of play the anti or reverse of the single length set.
Okay.
Right. So starting at my 7-iron, my irons get, instead of a half inch longer per iron, they get 3/4 inch longer, so that my 4-iron is really kind of like 3-iron length, so to speak.
Okay.
And we've kind of built that in so I get a little more club head speed, a little bit more dynamic loft. With more ball speed, I get more peak height, generate a little bit more spin in my long irons, so they go higher. Well, I do the opposite on the wedges. I have my wedges, my 55 degree, 56 and 55, 1/4 inch short, and then my lob wedge is 1/2 inch short, and I leave the head weight the same, so the swing weight is quite light.
Okay.
And so that lighter swing weight gives the lob wedge a little less momentum, which is mass times velocity for the physics folks out there. And because you have a less mass, then the ball comes off with a little bit less velocity. So you can swing harder. I think it's one of the things Joe Mayo said.
Yep.
The good player can learn how to slow the ball down around the greens and speed the ball up off the tee. Yep. And so that's been one little tweak that's really helped me.
Interesting.
Payne Stewart used to do it, super light lob wedge. Bubba Watson with his build, he's always played a really light lob wedge as well.
Jacob, one last thing on the new wedges. It's not just the wedges we're talking about. You guys also manipulated the grips a bit. Is that right?
Yeah. So looking at the wedges, it's not necessarily just the head that we're working
right.
on. We're looking at the whole system. The golfer's going to interact with the grip. And so one of the things with our dial-a-wedge grip that we developed a couple years ago is it's 3/4 of an inch longer than your standard grip. And it has a reduced taper rate. So what that means is that as you get closer to the bottom of the grip, the diameter of the grip in your hands feels is pretty similar to what it does up at the top end of the grip where you're normally holding it. And then also on the grip, there's a couple three indicator marks at the bottom that give you some reference points if you're choking down to hit different shots. So that works really well for somebody who kind of says, I want to make the same swing, but I want it to go 5 and 10 yards shorter. I think they're 1 inch increments mm-hmm. at the bottom. And you can have some different yardages that you can work off simply by just moving your hand further down the grip, and you're going to have that consistent hand placement.
Just a reference point, Marty. I mean, it's like a simple thing for golfers to do. They can't spend the 6 hours on the driving range.
Yeah. I mean, Shane, I grew up playing the Ping dial-a-grip,
yep.
which had the vertical lines. And I remember specifically as a kid learning to hit a flop shot where I would turn the dial over and be like, okay, now I'm going to the face is clocked open this amount, and I'm going to hit my flop shot. Right?
Nerd from
my
day one. Yeah.
So,
I mean, there's a reason you do this, Marty, I think. It's when you're a kid dialing your wedges up. It's
so, like
a
now we got the modern day dial a grip there. Dial a right. wedge grip. Dial it up.
Jacob, it's fascinating to hear. Are you already working on the next iteration of wedges already, or do you have
yeah.
a little time?
We're a few months in already.
Are you so, really?
Yeah.
Goodness, it
a lot
never
of fun.
Stops. Do you get like a week off when the launch happens and you know, you're like, all right, you don't have to think about wedges for a week, or is that just vacation?
That's usually when I get to go out to the golf course and hit wedges.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's your
exactly.
vacation. Well, we appreciate the insight. Marty, you got anything else for him?
No, I just appreciate everything you've done in the wedge category, Jacob. I'm looking forward to having a lot of folks out there check out. If they go through the app,
do it, Marty Sane.
I'm not joking. It's like getting the start of your fitting from Jacob himself.
Yes. 2012 to now, senior design engineer, intern for Marty anymore. Get out of here, Marty Jernison.
Nah.
Thank you, Jacob, for your time. This is the Ping Proving Grounds podcast.